go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome in to the newest Denvengers episode. It's been a while for our crew since we've been able to get back in. Had a little bit of a delay, but we are so excited to be back with you guys. I am joined by three very special guests, and as we sort of combine both of our podcasts into one mega podcast for the Denver Nuggets sphere. On my right over there, we got Swipa. On my the bottom, Matt Moore. And down in the bottom right corner, Adam Morris, who's like doing low post shit and things like that. Like that's still happening. You've got there's a lot of stuff coming down. But we are so excited to be able to bring this back, as by popular demand, everybody has been so excited to get this back on track. Fellas, how you doing?
Yeah, showtime, everybody. Let's get it.
Swipa, for people that aren't watching, he has the great, is that a Rockies auto hat?
Rockies, yes, a Rockies auto hat. Yes, sir.
That is unbelievable. 10 out of 10. Well done.
Yeah. Just how you know you're from the 303. No, this is not Chiefs colors, Matt Moore. This is a real auto shop that we all saw commercials on when we were children.
I'm sorry. I don't have a hat. Hang on.
Hey. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Gosh, dang it.
All four, by the way, of the championships.
Wait. Matt, what does that hat say? It says make them. I'm sorry. No, I got it. That's a Chiefs hat. My bad. Rock hat.
Oh, man. That's messed up.
It's a pretty busy hat. Not going to lie. That's a really nice hat.
That's why I don't wear it. That's why I don't wear it. It's like I bought it. People see it from the back. That happens every time I buy a red hat. It's like I can't wear this because people are just going to assume.
Matt just walks into a Walmart looking for groceries, and people are like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah, exactly.
This podcast is sponsored by BetOnline, your number one source for all your summer sports this season, with NBA and NHL playoffs, MLB, golf, and more. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Folks, we've got plenty on the docket for you. We're going to cover the Denver Nuggets versus Minnesota Timberwolves series that starts tomorrow, Saturday night. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of different layers that we can get into. If you are familiar with the episodes that we recorded last year, these sort of take a similar tone where we'll go through a bunch of different methods of preview. different X factors, what we're looking for in this series, and then give some predictions right at the end. So make sure to stick around to hear where we're at for our predictions. But I'm very excited to get into this with all three of you. First question I have on the rundown, is this going to be the toughest team the Nuggets have faced in the Jokic era in the playoffs? Because I think that there is a strong argument for it to be. And I'm curious to get your impressions on just historically thinking back over the course of these last few years. Are there any teams that have been actually legitimately better than this Wolves team?
Yeah, the 2020 Lakers, I think, are better.
Yeah, are you talking about ever any playoffs?
Yeah, like any playoffs that they've faced in the Jokic era.
Here's the thing. I think they might be. They could be. They're a really good team, and I think there's a chance when we walk out of the series we say yes to that. But I think at this very moment, it's TBD. You have to see. The Warriors team, the Suns team that went to the finals, the Lakers team even last year, Lakers the bubble, those teams, you know, maybe less impressive in a regular season, but I think presented unique challenges. The Timberwolves, I think, are capable of being better, but they're also capable of being worse than those teams. And this is going to be a real challenge for them. I mean, remember, last year they won one game, not just against Denver. I'm saying in the playoffs. This year they have a sweep. How much of that was Phoenix being terrible? How much of that is Minnesota being good? I think we'll learn that really quickly in this series.
Adam, I need a salt calibration on a scale of 1 to 5. How salty should I be here?
About what?
Just in general on this pod.
What do you mean? Are you feeling salty?
I'm asking you for a calibration of how salty I should be
for entertainment. Regular salty. Okay. Regular amount of salt.
All right, am I right? Then I'll say that, like, yeah, I would agree with Adam. It's got like the appropriate. I think it's got the chance for it to be that much. So let's. All right, this is not comfortable. Let's kick it up a little bit. Look,
throw some pepper on there now, Matt.
So look, the toughest series is if you're facing Anthony Davis in the bubble after he's had 3 months rest and he's able to hit jump shots, you're never going to be able to win. Yeah. So like, if you actually have to face, like, if that Lakers team had to actually go on the road or actually had to play through an 82 game season, then yeah. No, I actually think this Wolves team is probably a little bit better, but they face what is essentially the perfect version of the Lakers, where there's no crowd, there's no pressure, it's not hard, and Jokic wasn't quite ready yet. But like, if we're talking about like actual like level of playoff intensity and the actual roster, I think that this Minnesota team matches up. Now, I think LeBron was the best player between those two series, right? But I think that's kind of the question here. Now, what's interesting though, Kim, I don't know if I can say that the Warriors Wolves team is better than that Warriors team that won the title. And that the Warriors team no longer looks as good because lost the second round last year, missed the playoffs this year. But that was like the last moment where that team was viable. And that was still like extremely awesome Draymond, extremely very good Clay. Jordan Poole was viable. Steph was still peak powers. You know, that roster. And they had veterans.
Andrew Wiggins, who was actually great.
Was for really like good, right? That's a bigger outlier than Anthony Davis. So like, I would actually rank it probably Warriors 2022. And then like, Lakers and Wolves are in the same tier with, like, you can say the Lakers are better and that's totally fine. But I do think this is, like, I think this is a championship caliber Wolves team that the Denver Nuggets are about.
I would say I think you're right. But again, this is the playoffs kind of tell the truth. And so I would bet on them to be that. But there is always a chance that there's a team that you think is that and then they're not. And we're going to find that out about the Timberwolves here very quickly.
Cam.
Yeah. I would never thing. I think I always take peak LeBron and peak AD and that KCP, Caruso, Rajon Rondo, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, Kyle Kuzma. I mean, they just presented so many problems to the Nuggets from top to bottom. So I would definitely would say them. I think the 22 Warriors that Adam talks about, they were a great team. I think Gary Payton II shot 60% from three in that series. He killed him with a lot of backbreakers in the corner. Andrew Wiggins was incredible. That rebound that the Nuggets did not get, he was securing the boards. Draymond was especially really good the first couple games of that series. Steph came off the bench averaging 28 on like 65 true shooting, and then Jordan Poole averaged like 28 himself. So I think all the way around, given the roster construct at the time, those would be the teams. But I think the Wolves team, because of the familiarity, you know, Rudy's played versus this team for years. The Wolves are in the same division. Anthony Edwards has taken a step in his career, you know, averaging, you know, 31, 32 in the first round, shot really well, shot, you know, 50% from three, I want to say. You know, he's been really good. And I think Jaden McDaniels, Mike Conley, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Naz Reid, Monte Morris, they got a lot of guys. Kyle Anderson, they just have a lot of people, plus really good coaching. So I do think that this team is going to likely end up being at least maybe the third best team that they have faced all the way around. I don't think they have the same top end talent because they don't have Steph at his apex or Braun or AD at his apex. But I do think Anthony Edwards is probably whatever tier below that is. That's about what he is.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I tend to rank the actual matchup challenges that a team potentially has a little bit even more than the talent. This is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough one for Denver for a variety of reasons, but not least of which is just the way that the Timberwolves have been built, the way that they've been sort of crafted together to match up with a team like Denver, whereas Denver was able to take advantage of various other matchups with other teams in previous years. This is going to be, I think, one of their toughest challenges. I've been on this for a little bit, and I might end up being entirely wrong. This might look a lot like last year's playoff series, or it might not. I think this T-Wolves team is just better than the T-Wolves team that Denver faced last year. And part of that is just the evolution of Anthony Edwards. And while he is like, he put up crazy numbers against Denver last year, there's no doubt about it. I just think he's a better, more mature player at this point, and I think understands a little bit what his responsibility is after going through the playoffs a couple times. And he just looks like the guy that you're expecting to lead to be the best player on a championship team. I wonder if he is, like, kind of comparing it to last round, do you guys think he's a tougher cover for the Nuggets? Is he tougher to stop than LeBron or Anthony Davis are? Or is this a different kind of challenge that might be a little easier?
No, I don't. He doesn't have the passing ability and playmaking through the middle of the defense like LeBron does. I think he'll driving, yes. If he's shooting and hitting his shots, yes. He shot 28% from three, I think, in the matchup versus Denver so far this year. If his shooting holds up, it's pull-up shooting in particular, then I think he can present some of the challenges. But I think LeBron and AD, they just had the ability because both of them had kind of a three-level, at least a two-level threat from AD, then a three-level threat from LeBron to be able to kind of go through the middle of the defense and pick it apart just because you had an all-time playmaker at the middle. So that would probably be the biggest difference for me.
I would compare him more to Devin Booker last year as in terms of challenges, which is he's not going to impact the game in all of the ways that a LeBron does and put the pressure on you that a LeBron does, but it doesn't mean that he's less impactful. He's a guy that can make a lot of shots and that there might not be a solve on the roster for, which is what happened with Devin Booker last year for the first four games of that series. It wasn't that Denver didn't have adjustments to make. They just didn't make an impact on him. It's possible Ant has that same level of impact and the team's identity is more defensive minded. So they're going to have a good defense. And if they have one guy that is that hot, it becomes a real challenge.
Yeah, I think it's good points by Swipe and Adam. I think the big key differential is that for, you know, Swipe's estimation, like LeBron was passing to a bunch of yo-yos and Anthony Edwards is actually passing to capable NBA players, like playoff caliber guys. Like they got 16 gamers on there. And the Lakers had like two. And so for me, that's like a big differential in terms of how this shakes out. I do think that with where Jokic's defense is at this year, and I don't know, like, I don't know the answer to this. I don't know how much of it is him conserving energy. I don't know how much of it is scheme called by David Adelman. I don't know, or Ryan Saunders. Like, I don't know. Like,
when you wait. Are you saying Jokic's bad defensively this year?
I think in the playoffs he was, and in the Minnesota matchups he was, yes.
Okay.
Because Ant got the edge on him, like, really consistently. I don't think this is a great Jokic year defensively overall, despite some of the numbers. We're about that in the MVP thing. That said, you know, if he levels up and they're able to just contain, then they can slow them down considerably. Because that, I do think it's going to be one of the problems is Conley's really good and can fill in the gaps. But like Mike Conley can't just be like, all right, here we go. Bread and butter, pick and roll for, you know, 8 minutes. That's not what Mike can do. Like Ant can go at you over a stretch of 4 minutes and just attack you and attack you and attack you. And so if you do disrupt Ant, then that offense, which already has a very low floor, is going to really struggle. So this is like a good challenge for them finding the answers, whether it's KCP just having a better series than he did in the regular season against them, or AG or Christian Brown or Peyton Watson. If they're able to find those answers and Yoke's able to contain very well to disrupt and stop Edwards from getting perimeter penetration, then the Nuggets are going to be in a really good spot in the series.
So I've been approaching this series and approaching these defensive matchups with the perspective that
Jamal Murray probably guards Mike Conley. KCP guards Ants. Aaron Gordon guards Karl Towns. Jaden McDaniels, MPJ, and then Jokic on Gobert. Are there any scenarios where you see Denver sort of flipping that up to try to make things more difficult for Ant? Because in the regular season, like KCP did not have much of an impact on him. And I don't know if they can really change up that coverage that much while without compromising their defense in some other way. So I'm curious to hear, are there any other ways that you guys would approach guarding the T-Wolves and guarding Ant?
They won't do it, but I would really like to see MPJ on him. And I know that sounds that sounds bonkers. I know it sounds crazy. From the stuff that I've seen on Ant and the stuff that I've done on film, he has a real problem when he's facing guys with just like super length. And AG is powerful and AG has good wingspan and all these types of things. But I actually think MPJ's contain is going to lure him into taking pull-up jumpers more, because he'll play a step off of him and be like, oh, I'll just rise up and take this jumper. And you can probably live with a lot of that. Like, Ant can hit them, but those are shots you can probably live with, versus him getting downhill and playing physical, which is how I think he'll probably respond. He'll want to out-muscle KCP, and he'll want to try and get by AG. Like, he'll make it into a contest of athleticism versus skill versus MPJ. He'll be like, really? You're going to guard me? And he's going to take that pull-up. I actually think there's some value there, especially with the way that you can then counter-match with the rest of the matchups. I'm not saying do it full-time. I just want to see what it looks like. And maybe I'm insane. I'm very much open to that. God knows it's likely. But I do actually think that there's some upside there, given how Casey or MPJ has defended in the key matchups this season in big games and in the playoffs.
It's an interesting take.
I think that KCP will probably draw this assignment probably throughout the whole series. The reason I think that it's though a little bit of an overstated perspective, it's going to matter a lot in the clutch how you match up. I think you probably want MPJ's length off of him, just in being able to stunt over and shrink the court. MPJ is very good at that with his length. But I think that this series, more than most, will likely have cross matches, because I think the Wolves will stop Denver more often than most teams in the half court, which means Denver will be cross matched on the other side. And I think it's going to be true, going the other direction. Denver's going to be able to get stops on Minnesota and have a lot of cross matches when they're attacking. So I kind of feel like, as much as we're talking about the who gets the assignment, those are starting and ending games, but a very large percentage of these possessions are going to have Murray on Ant, Aaron Gordon on Ant, Jokic on Ant. Like, there's just going to be a lot of cross matching in this series that I think makes a bigger imprint than most series.
Yeah, I think converting jumpers is everything, because the Wolves converted jumpers in this last series versus the Suns. And if that's what they're able to do, because their offense is going to stagnate at times, just because that's what it's did throughout the entire year. But if the Nuggets are able to keep them away from the rim and keep them off the glass, in particular Rudy and Kat, obviously, and I think eliminating possessions, I think if you're able to limit them to one shot more often than not, and then you go on the other end with, I do think they're going to play at a higher level offensively, because it's going to require them to versus the Lakers. I just think that the overall execution and seriousness in that series, it wasn't what it needed to be, just because I don't want to say they knew they could beat them, but it's just, you could tell there was a difference with how they typically play in the playoffs. So I do expect that, especially as the series gets later, as the games get later, eliminating them from getting as many opportunities at the rim as possible, no putbacks, no second chance opportunities, eliminating those, and then going down on the other end, they're going to play drop coverage with Rudy, and then obviously Jaden, Nikhil, they're going to try to get over the top. And then on the other end, if Mike Conley, they're going to be running the double drag, try to get those lineups on them. But some of this is, I think for me, it comes down to Jamal and converting his looks. Is he able to do similarly what he did last year? He shot 43% from three last year, 27 points per game. MPJ to the last series averaged 22.8 on 69.8 true shooting, shot 49% from three. And again, he doesn't have to do that again. But if you can get enough floor spacing with this offense around that pick and roll from KCP and from MPJ, and if Jamal Murray feels comfortable in his pull-up shot making or those step backs that he likes to do at some of those kickouts, then I think that will help them a lot. But that's the difference in what happened last series and what needs to happen this series.
I would note that you're going to be a little bit surprised at how much Rudy plays up now. Mm-hmm. They're playing him in a high drop. And I mean, high. Like, it's like a step is where they're playing him off, because they've got such confidence in their weak side rotations. Like, you play deeper on drop and you're like, we have nobody on the weak side that's going to help us. And with all their athleticism, they've been playing a lot better in those kind of conditions. And so Rudy's been playing a lot more up. It doesn't necessarily matter because Jamal can cross him over, split the double, get, you know, there's like lots of ways to counter it that he probably will. But just like, it's an interesting kind of quirk that Minnesota's thrown some different looks at it. Ryan, like, what do you think about guarding Ant though, in terms of how you think those matchups look?
Yeah, Ant's going to be like, it's almost to me like 30 points per game is kind of given with what he's going to do, with how relentless he is, how much he's going to attack in transition. Like, Denver's going to, like, they're not going to score a ton in the half court, in my opinion. And the Wolves are going to get out in transition. They're going to force some turnovers. Ant's going to be able to take advantage of that, to be clear. I do think that KCP is probably the sacrificial lamb there, where like you're just going to have to work as hard as you possibly can, try to bother him a little bit, try to disrupt him a little bit, and see if you could draw some offensive fouls here or there. That's one thing about KCP, is like the screen navigation is going to be really, really important with him getting some of that foul coverage, that foul trouble on Karl Towns and Anthony and Rudy Gobert. Like, that's one thing that, just looking back on this series last year, those bigs were in foul trouble a lot. And any possible way that they could get those guys into foul trouble again, like even within the process of just guarding Anthony Edwards, like I think that there's a strong opportunity that Denver can do that again. And that will probably, like, foul trouble will probably dictate the series, I think, maybe more than we might expect.
That you said pace will?
Foul trouble.
Oh, foul trouble. Oh, I agree. And by the way, also talking about Gobert playing up in screens, that leaves you a little bit more vulnerable, especially against Yoke, to foul. So that could be a part of it too. Like, that's an exhausting thing to do. Yoke and Gobert are both good at setting multiple screens. I mean, Gobert, yep, it's well publicized, screen, dive all the way to the basket, screen again, dive all the way to the basket. And that's exhausting. So is coming out and then trying to play in between with Yoke rolling, getting into the pocket. Murray and Jokic are both very good at finding that pocket. Doesn't matter what kind of a defense you throw at them, they find out how to find that pocket. And if you're playing up and consistently hitting Jokic, you're probably always on his hip in recovery, and that is where you get most fouls in the NBA today. Yeah. So it's a risky defense.
I want to be very clear. That was more of a, hey, if you're expecting just like, oh, Rudy's going to drop and Jamal will take like a million pull-up jumpers. No, but it doesn't really matter because the Nuggets have so many counters, it's not going to matter. Like, no matter what covers they run, they're going to get burned. Like, Rudy's gonna be in foul trouble and gonna be in hell this series. That's Rudy's life for the next 2 weeks.
Pickaxe and Roll is now sponsored by Autograph, where real fans get unreal rewards. By bringing the best content for your team into one place, Autograph is the first app that can recognize and reward fans, turning their passion into access and experiences. You can read articles from your favorite team's blogs, you can listen to the top podcast hosts, you can level up in status and unlock unique rewards, which are discounted tickets, signed memorabilia, and more. All you got to do is click on the link or scan the QR code and use code MHS when you sign up for the Autograph app. Autograph, where real fans get unreal rewards.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So let's talk about Jamal then. Like, he's probably another pivot point for this. I expect great things from Jokic because that's what he's supposed to do. That's what he's going to do. With Jamal, it sounds like he's getting a little bit healthier. Sounds like the calf is probably less of an issue than maybe it was at the end of this last series, and getting some off time was great. But the problem, of course, is that Jaden McDaniels, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Rudy Gobert, like, all those guys are just going to be hell to have to navigate on a consistent basis. And yet, like, Murray had some solid games against Jaden McDaniels earlier this season and has had some pretty solid performances against that team. So I'm curious, like, how much of an impact will Jamal Murray's overall pick and roll handling, overall, like, offensive game, like, is that going to be the determination for the series, or is there something else that's more important than that?
Not sure.
Swiper.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest difference in this is that Murray and Ant, they didn't play themselves to a straight draw. Murray's a better playmaker and was a better scorer last year, but I think getting 27, 5, and 6 from Murray and then 31, 5, and 5 from Ant, you know, I think if Murray's able to play at his normal playoff level, meaning like the shooting is there, like the shooting is available to him, again, you know, he dropped basically 12% in his true shooting from the end of this regular season to the playoffs. And I attribute a lot of that to it didn't look like he was comfortable. So if he feels healthy and he's able to convert those looks, then I do think that's going to be essential to, I think, some of us saying this series will go 7 as opposed to series could be a little shorter in Denver's favor. But they have to convert those looks because his shot making in that round last year versus the Wolves was impeccable in a lot of these games. And so I just think that him as a decision maker and as a playmaker and as a shooter, similar to what you're seeing with Jalen Brunson with the Knicks, that is just going to determine how effective that Wolves defense is actually going to be versus the Nuggets.
I think Murray's at the heart of the series to me. I mean, I honestly think it comes down to, if Murray had a great series, I would be shocked if Denver lost. Because I think everything else is somewhat predictable. Or, I mean, again, I would be surprised by if all the other variables were too far out of the sort of range of expectance. But Murray right now, that range is so wide, I just don't know. I think it's a tough challenge for him. But it also is one of those ones where I think Denver can really put pressure on them to keep pace. You know, the Wolves want to lower Denver's effectiveness and then they can play the game down here. But if Denver is scoring, I don't know that the Wolves can raise their game up here offensively. And so that's a big one where Murray is obviously a guy that can make things very different. I will say this, though, and I mentioned this, I thought of this the other day, and I think I said it on the DNVR show. With Jokic, last year he had the wrist sprain, and he played well. But I do think that we've seen him go through those moments, and I don't know how big of an impact it was. Jok was very good in that series, but he also was much better in the next one. And there's a part of me that wonders if he actually has another gear against this specific matchup that we haven't seen, which would obviously alleviate a lot of the pain on Murray, or a lot of the strain on Murray.
Yeah, I could see him kind of like saving himself up and then going a little bit harder, because I don't think he pushed himself as much as he could in that first round series versus the Lakers.
I certainly hope so. I hope he was not pushing himself.
I have a little bit of a different position. I will, you know, we'll talk about kind of like our series predictions later on. I will say that I don't think Jamal's at the heart of the series. I'll talk about what I do think is at it later, but I don't have the kind of expectations I think that others do for Jamal, because I don't think of him like, I judge him based off of the entire career and not just based off of the playoff series. And I don't think it's wrong to do that. Like, I don't think it's wrong to like judge him off of like, well, hey, if you're going to be not Jamal Murray in the regular season, you better be playoff Jamal. And I think that that's fair and fine. I don't have that expectation of him, because I just don't think that, like, I look at
it. What expectation, Matt? Can you be a little more specific? I'm sorry.
Like, the dominant superstar dropping 30 on 50, 40, 90, or 27, 7, 6. Like, I don't have that expectation for him in this series. And he can definitely do it. And if he does, I think Adam's absolutely right. That, like, if you get that version of Jamal Murray, the Nuggets are going to win the series. Like, they just are going to win this series. If he's just hitting tough shot after tough shot after tough shot after tough shot, and he's dictating all this and then just going crazy, if he's the story, the Nuggets are going to win the series. I think that's absolutely accurate. But I don't have that expectation for him in this series. I do think Nikhil Alexander-Walker is going to play a bigger role than I think that we realize, because Finch has kind of, in my opinion, very wisely started to not just be like, anybody who's good, Jaden McDaniels is getting on him. Because actually, Nikhil has better success versus very specific guys. And so having Jaden as more of a help defender and having Jaden do
that part,
other types of things in order to crowd and help, that I think, especially with their, I've talked about this a lot on Buckets, their matchup zone on the weak side is, it's so good. Like, they have such great principles in their matchup zone stuff that having Jaden as a help defender, I think really is great there. And Nikhil is a guy I think that really gets under Jamal's shirt and is really problematic. So with that said, like, I think this is a really, like, this is a very high bar for him. And you go like, well, Jokic is facing the multi-time, soon to be another time DPOY. I'm like, yeah, but I have higher expectations for Jokic because Jokic does it every fucking game. That's like a whole thing where I have different expectations for Jokic than I do for Murray. And while I think it's awesome what Jamal did last year, I'm not necessarily going to expect it until I start to see it happening. And we did not see that in the first round series. So I don't have that expectation going into this.
Do you think that's more associated to the shot conversion? Because he averaged 23.6, I believe, with 7 assists a game. But he shot, you know, basically 40% from the field over the course of the series and 20% from three. Do you think that if it's a shot variance hits the other way for him, then his numbers would seemingly go up? So he would be on par similar with last year's numbers.
I don't love his process in creating those shots. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think he's in the same physical place, in part because of the injury and in part because of the conditioning based off of the injury. So,
well, I will say, because people are asking that, I see Noah Linden in the chat say there's no new news on Murray's health. I actually just came from the gym. The team really downplayed that as if like, oh, he's fine, he's good. You know, like this break was off for him. So we'll see. We're all going to see it. But the team is least projecting that they're significantly less concerned about it than, say, I am.
And if that's the case, then you have some confidence going into it that he can generate some of the space and some of the separation that he needs on his shots and he needs on like elevating on his jumper and driving to the rim and things like that. But yeah, I mean, to your guys' point, like this is going to be maybe his toughest series for the entire playoff run. The fact that he struggled as much as he did with Austin Reeves and Anthony Davis and that entire setup was not super encouraging. And the hope is that he recovers and that he plays better as the playoffs go along, but I'm not sure if he will.
I mean, look, I just want to say is like the last series was the easy one.
Yeah.
He had Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
And like he gets Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Jaden McDaniels. Mike Conley's not a slouch. He gets, if they get past this one, he's going to probably get Lu Dort, or I guess if you want to prefer, well, there's nobody on the Mavericks. So if it's the Mavericks, that's an easy matchup for him. And then if they make the finals, it's Derek White and Drew. Like, this is a nightmarish playoff run for Jamal. So, I think, and then look, if he rises to that level, it's only going to add to the legend of playoff Jamal Murray.
Yeah, but and that's exciting. Go ahead.
Wouldn't that be attributed to the expectation, though? And I don't mean expectation as in, like, all NBA, but that's the way the team is constructed. It's like the Clippers is Paul George and Kawhi. If one of them aren't there or playing up to expectation, they don't win. You know, similarly, Jaylen Brown and then Jason Tatum, you know, they have mitigated some of that, but then historically they don't win, or Steph Curry, Dre, or Wiggins. I'm thinking with the Nuggets in particular, though, if Jamal is not the other ace of the duo, then they won't win anyway, because that's just, they're not good enough on the boundaries to be able to do that without him excelling versus high-level competition.
I would like to know Adam's thoughts on this beyond the concept of this series, because Adam obviously feels Jamal is very important. He's the entire series in this one. But, like, beyond that, like, do you feel that the Nuggets have to have ace Jamal in order to get there?
Yes, I think you have to have that engine. To me, is the Murray Jokic two-man game. Jokic is the bigger outlier in terms of, you know, his skill set is larger and more unique and puts more pressure on you. He's the better player, but Murray is half of the dance. It's everything with Jokic is set up with those two. So yeah, I think the Nuggets, I don't think the Nuggets are ever winning a title with Murray on the roster when he's not good. Like, when it's like, yeah, he was a B player through that run and they won the title. I don't think that's possible. He also has to be an A.
I see a way that it can happen, but again, we'll get there later.
Okay. Let's pivot. Let's go to the bench. That's one I think that between these two different teams, obviously the bench minutes aren't going to be as big of a deal for the Nuggets because they don't trust their bench. But the T-Wolves do, and you've got guys like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who averaged over 30 minutes a night for the T-Wolves in this last series. Naz Reid won Sixth Man of the Year and is their seventh man now. They are really, really good. They're really, really talented and have a bunch of different lineups that they can go to. Obviously, Monte Morris is more equivalent to like Reggie Jackson. Kyle Anderson may or may not be playable in this series. We'll have to find out. But they've got a little bit more depth than I think the Nuggets do from a trust perspective. I'm curious, who is the one bench player that you guys think has to step up for Denver in this series?
For me, it's Peyton Watson. I mean, the whole idea of drafting a Peyton Watson, I don't, you know, is that he needs to be able to make an impact on the superstars in the league. Maybe it's ahead of schedule. Maybe this is, you know, maybe he's not ready for that. Maybe he never gets there. But to me, this is a prime opportunity to make an impact in the series by doing something. And by the way, that might, something might also be on a Naz Reid or Karl Anthony Towns. Like it might be on a Jaden McDaniels even. You know, they count on Jaden McDaniels to get some offense here or there. They don't play through him, but they need him to score. So it could even be on those guys. But I suspect there will be moments where he needs to guard one of the big guys, Ant or Karl Anthony Towns or even a Naz Reid, and he has to come through. If he doesn't, the odds tilt in the other direction.
I'll say Christian Brown just because I think he will have a good series. I think Christian Brown had a really terrible series versus the Lakers. I hate that matchup for him. I like this one a lot more. I like his ability to guard Mike Conley. I like his ability to guard Monte Morris. I like his ability to guard Jaden McDaniels. I like his ability to guard Nikhil Alexander Walker. Like, there's not a wing on there on that team that I don't like for Christian. And I think that in transition, he's going to have maybe some more opportunities to just get downhill and go physical versus physical. It's not necessarily as much of a, it's not just brute force on the wings the way that it is with the Lakers with LeBron, and that changes things a little bit. And then, you know, it's, I just think it's more his speed, where the Wolves will also, especially on that bench unit, they will go a little bit more up and down with you. Like, starters want to slow it down and really kind of grind you down to dust with the defense. The bench unit wants to make big defensive plays and then get out and run a little bit. And you see a lot of like Naz Reid transition stuff. So if you get into that type of game, that's where Christian really shines, because he's able to use his athleticism, and he'll make some mistakes. But I do think this is going to be a good series for him. So I'll say that, like, this is the one, just because, like, I have like the lowest of expectations for this bench unit going into the series, because the Wolves bench is so much better. The Wolves have a great bench unit, like, all the way through. And they have options of how to play those guys. They have so much lineup versatility and different looks that Finch can throw out there. So they can do a lot more as well with staggered units with the starters versus like Denver's. They got their guys and they kind of plug them in there. I'll say Christian Brown, but yeah. Swipe, what do you got?
Yeah, that's tough.
Say I think Reggie. Say Reggie.
Yeah. I might be a Justin Holiday series at that point, but I would say that I think Peyton Watson might actually end up being the answer, just because Christian, I do think, will have to play better. So for me, he's kind of the locked in. I think the Peyton question is, Naz Reid struggled versus Peyton the last time they played each other, because Peyton is extremely long, extremely athletic, and defensively very intelligent near the rim, not necessarily off ball all the time. But I do think Peyton's going to have a lot to do with that unit, because again, it's going to be Peyton, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. in the front court, and then Christian, and then Jamal. Can you do enough defensively to get those stops, run out in transition, and can you get easy 2, 4, 6 points? Because those stops and then 4 points on you, I mean, that's an 8-point swing minimum that I think he can create on his own over the course of 2 stints in the game. And those 8 points might end up being the difference between winning 104-96 or losing and being tied or going into a last clutch shot situation with Anthony Edwards again. He does a pull-up three over Aaron Gordon in Minnesota. So a lot of this is, I think Peyton has the ability to impact this game defensively at a high level. And because he's such an athlete, with the Nuggets with the second unit are running. They're running everywhere. And so can they utilize that athleticism? And then when he's with Jokic, is he aware enough of himself on the court that way he can finish at that dunker spot? Can he get to the mid-range and convert that shot at all? And again, the more he does offensively, everything else is a plus, but it's defensively he has to lock in and do his job. And I do think that he will be able to do that to some degree.
I mean, look, I think I just want to say that I think Peyton's going to have a good series too. It's weird because, like, I think the Wolves as a unit will be better with the bench. Like, I think they'll win the minutes. If they don't, again, Denver's going to win comfortably. But I do think that, like, Peyton and Christian fit very well in this series. Like, I think they're going to have very good minutes. I especially think that the staggered minutes, which kind of struggled in the first round series when it was Jokic and the bench unit, I think those are going to be look a lot better in this series. I think that those units will do very well.
That'd be the hope. That's the hope for this thing, because Denver had to rely so heavily on the starters in that first round. And, like, they put that lineup together with the starters. And we're like, hey, we're just going to ride you guys, especially in that game four and game five. The minutes dwindled so much for the young guys. And like outside of Reggie Jackson in that game five, like nobody really played at all off the bench. So I'm curious as to whether they can work those guys back into the rotation or not, because if they can't, even if Denver were to advance beyond this series, then I just think there is a point of diminishing returns from an energy perspective. Like they need to be able to count on somebody off that bench consistently.
What do you think Reggie does in the series, Matt?
He gets benched.
Really? Monte and Nikhil just present too many issues.
Yeah. I think when you're not, when he doesn't have, like, think about what he's going to have here. He's not going to have the easy pull up threes, which he hasn't been hitting. He's not going to have the mid range, because he's going to have NAW or Jaden or one of their bench wings bearing down behind him. He's not going to be able to get to the rim because it's going to be Rudy Gobert or Nas. There's literally no shot for him to even be able to get to. And he's going to be a nightmare on the defensive end because they have so much athleticism on the wings. Like, it's a he's not good to begin with, and it's going to be a disaster series. So I am worried about the no point guard looks because of my concerns about the kind of pressure that they will apply. But like, probably it's just going to be like Jokic brings it up. Like Jokic just brings it up the court, and that's the solve for it. So as much as I've clowned you on the no point guard thing, like, this is the playoffs. They'll be fine. They'll bring the ball up to whatever degree, like however they have to, and they'll figure it out.
This is definitely this is the series where I think the no point guard look really comes out, like where that actually manifests itself. And Denver needs to have fewer, like, especially if Murray is resting, they need to have fewer opportunities where they have weaknesses on the perimeter. So I think that whether it's Christian or Peyton or even Justin Holiday, like, they can put together some good lineups with that group. So we will see what happens. X factors. Should we pivot to that? X factor for the Nuggets or X factor for the Timberwolves, in each of your guys' opinions?
I'll say the X factor for Denver is going to be, my temptation is always Aaron. And I think that he's going to have opportunities to make plays and be a passer in the series, but I'll say MPJ just because he's playing the best of, I think, of any Nugget right now, relative to their standards. At least he was in the first round series, and series starts at zero, like everything resets. But look, the good things is, as much as that first round series showed that, hey, contested jumpers versus Minnesota, maybe not the best idea, Phoenix.
Yeah.
You do have to take them, and you do need to make them. And there is no better contested catch and shoot guy on Denver, and one of the best in the league, than Michael Porter Jr. So his ability to just hit back breaking three pointers is massive. I really like the way that he's played defensively. I really like the way that he's played in terms of crashing the glass, being able to take advantage of offensive rebounds. Like, there's a lot of opportunities here for Michael Porter Jr. to make big plays. And he's been so locked in and played so well that I'll go ahead and I'll say that he's my X factor for the series.
Adam.
You know, I think Karl-Anthony Towns, I don't know if he's a factor or an X factor, but to me, this has the potential to be a big series for him. And part of this, because I keep looking at Aaron Gordon and what his role is going to be and all the different assignments you could potentially throw at him, including backup center. But that all gets thrown off if Towns is a good enough offensive player. I mean, you saw Anthony Edwards talk about him as, like, he's the key to their team. He's the one that elevates and makes their punches so potent and their depth so potent. So they need him to have a good series. And if he does, I think it doesn't take away Aaron Gordon, but it does occupy him. It gives him a fire to put out. You know, that, and he's such an important piece that if he has to focus on one fire, then everybody else has to pick up the slack everywhere else. So I think Karl-Anthony Towns is a huge X factor.
It's a good point.
Also, yeah. Foul trouble. Guard Yoke and use Rudy Gobert as a roamer only works if you're not drawing fouls nonstop. I mean, we saw that they try the same thing with Kyle Anderson, even with Gobert on the floor, and Yoke puts fouls on him every play down the court.
He cannot play in this series. And if Finch tries him in game one, the Nuggets are going to win.
But I think that Yoke probably knows this as well about Towns, of like, okay, if they're going to do this, I have to put him in position to either get cooked or foul. And both of those are favorable for Denver. So that's why I think he's a big X factor on both ends.
Pickaxe and Roll is presented by Number 38 in Rhino, our official home for the playoffs. If you can't be at Ball Arena for game one on Saturday, be sure to watch with us at Number 38. And make plans now to be there next Friday for Game 3 with our live pregame show and plenty of specials, great foods, and giveaways. Number 38, your best place to watch the Nuggets.
Yeah, I'll roll with Porter as well, just because Porter Schottweim is going to be there, and he has performed well lately, at least, one of the games versus the Timberwolves. And again, if Murray is able to play at his level, and then Jokic is doing Jokic, and again, you know, I even expect him to be a little bit different in this series. I think the engine is going to run a little hotter in this series. If Porter is making them pay, then it throws off everything for them defensively. Because they're just not going to be able to be as disciplined with some of the things they have. Because he's just going to be such an oddball out there, like hitting shots or getting to the rim and finishing. And then he converted really well at the rim versus the Minnesota Timberwolves last year in the first round. And that was such a game-changing thing for them and changing how their defense was being played. So definitely Porter. On the other end, look, Cat averaged 19 and 9 last series and then shot 52% from three. That's a backbreaker. You know, you don't want him doing that. You know, Cat traditionally had not been great in the playoff, but he's been giving a lot of effort defensively since he's come back. He's been converting. You know, he stepped into a different role this year. So I do think if Aaron Gordon can at least make that a washout where he's not, you know, that big of a threat for them when he is out there. And then those small ball five units, again, can you still mitigate Cat's ability at the rim? Everything is going to be switched. Now, that's going to be the biggest difference as well is, and this is where I kind of side with Matt, no Jeff Green in the series, it matters because Jeff Green had the size and the strength to be able to play that switch 4-5 last year with Rudy and them. And that made an actual difference defensively versus Cat. So, you know, Peyton Watson and Christian Brown and them, you know, he's going to have more opportunity this year than he did last year.
For the Wolves side, I'll say that Nickeil Alexander-Walker, I think, is a huge swing here, not only because of the defense I mentioned on Jamal, but he's a great shooter and he's going to have corner looks because of the Nuggets. That's like one of the few weaknesses where you can kind of get to is you hit the right sequence on Denver and you can get to that corner three. And I think Nickeil is going to have a big series hitting threes from the corner.
Undoubtedly. By the way, I think I'm going to turn that Swipa segment into an NFT for Matt there, saying that Jeff Green is just a very key factor that they're going to miss for this upcoming series. For that reason, I Aaron is my X factor. I wrote about it earlier today, basically wrote like 2,000 words on it. Like, he is so important for this series for a variety of reasons, but not the least of which is the Suns the T-Wolves against the Suns averaged nearly 40% offensive rebound rate in the half court against the Suns. Like, that's insane. It's about as good as you could possibly get. And they overwhelmed the Suns with size. Now, when it's Joker out there, when it's MPJ and Aaron Gordon, they're not going to have that same advantage. But when it's Aaron Gordon at the five, Peyton Watson at the four, MPJ at the three, whatever, it's going to be a little bit different. So I think Aaron is so, so important for this series for that reason. He's got to be able to draw Rudy Gobert out of the paint at least a little bit on the offensive end. He's got to be able to make him pay when he rotates over too much and then dunk the ball behind him. There are so many ways that Denver can try to manipulate the offensive side of things with Gordon as a screener, as a playmaker, as somebody who connects things. But I do think that it's on Aaron. Like, Aaron's got to find opportunities to impact the game within the opportunities that he does get, because it's not going to be a ton. That's obviously going to be Joker, Jamal, MPJ taking like 60 shots a game between the three of them. But like, Gordon's a big piece of that, and he's going to be on the floor for 40 to 45 minutes a game.
Aaron, Ryan putting pressure on Aaron, Adam putting pressure on Jamal, me putting pressure on MPJ. We got counter agendas rolling today.
Playing all the hits. I guess we should probably wrap up now with series predictions. This is going to be, like I said at the top, I think this is going to be the toughest series that the Nuggets have played. The difference is that Denver's just a better team than they were in some of those past iterations, and they're much more confident, and they understand how they're going to approach this thing. But I'll start with Swipa. Series prediction for who wins and in how many games?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good series, really competitive series. Some might say Matt Moore, most competitive six-game series in NBA history. I do think that the Nuggets get this done in six. You know, I've watched the Timberwolves all year. I do think that four-quarter offense is going to come down to some really advanced shot-making from both teams. The Nuggets have just done it. They've been there. you know, even listening to Jamal talk about the in the practice yesterday, and just the level of confidence they seem to have in what they're doing. I don't think they think this team take them lightly at all. They believe them. They know that they're a very good team. And also, too, like, you know, y'all have heard my methodology before. If you got the apex player in the generation and they're in their prime and they have a healthy roster around them, I mean, you got to fight like absolute dog water to beat those players. And right now, there's just, he's the most unsolvable player, arguably, in modern NBA history, unless you want to count like 2012, 13 Bron. So I think when you have that on your side, as, you know, doubtful as things might be, at the end of the day, like, if you just have no solve for someone offensively and he's hitting his shots, and then you got the two-man game working, you know, there's just a lot of issue that they're going to present. So I do think this is going to be close. These are going to be close games, but I do think that the Denver Nuggets gets it done at six.
The thing, I think it's a good point about this being the toughest series, but one thing I would point out, I think teams and players, superstar players in particular, either wilt in the big moment or they step up in the big moment. And Denver didn't really have big moments last year in their run. Denver traditionally has looked very good. 2-3-1 comebacks. You know, their track record of back against the wall, they tend to have got the best out of them, but we actually haven't seen that version of them for a long time. And my gut tells me that means Denver has more in the tank. Like, we're all upset, or not upset, but we are all unimpressed with Denver in round one. We didn't feel like they reached their ceiling. And part of me goes, they knew how much energy they needed to expend. Their back was never against the wall. Even last year, back never against the wall. So I do think that Denver has probably an untapped gear that we have not seen yet. But I think that this series will require them to tap into that, probably more so than ever. So I think my pick has been Nuggets in seven. I would say Nuggets in seven with a shade towards Nuggets in six. In fact, I wish I could have changed my pick to Nuggets in six, but I'm on so many places where I said seven, so I'll stick with it.
I've come to Nuggets in six, and I shade towards Nuggets in five. Yeah. Don't look at me like that.
Adam, because you know me well at this point. I was going to say this, but I was like, oh, no, Matt's going to get on me. He's going to yell at me. The salt meter's going to go up to a 10. I'm probably going to get cursed out in French because he learned Rudy Gobert's home language. But then here we are, and I feel the exact same way. So,
Adam, explain.
I have no comment.
So the actual reason, and I kind of been saving this, is it's the Nuggets defense. This is a top 10 defense all year. Okay, we have the best unit on the floor, I think. I do believe this. The best unit on the floor, and this is true statistically as well, is the Minnesota defense. That's the best unit on the floor. Like, Nuggets offense has not reached like inferno levels hardly at all. And definitely has, we didn't see it almost any in the playoff series versus the Lakers. I don't know that their offensive ceiling is as high as it was last year. Maybe it is, and if it is, again, that's another way that the Nuggets hit the series in five. But their defense is so much better, because the worst unit on the floor is the Wolves' offense, and it has an extremely low floor. And Denver has a high floor defense and an extremely high floor offense. Like, you can have a great defense, and Denver's still going to score. But if you don't have a good offense, Denver's going to slow you down. And then Denver's got you in transition and in those mid-transition mismatches that Adam was talking about, which is a great point. And you've got that kind of an opportunity. I don't think Jamal has to have a great series and the Nuggets can win. I don't think that Joker has to dominate and the Nuggets can win, because all they have to do is be able to play a better brand of team offensive basketball than the Wolves, which the bar is low on that, and Denver can get out of this series. You combine that with the fact that I love the game flow for this series as far as what the season-long trends project. And, like, it doesn't have to follow that. Each game is individual. But, like, the trends have been that the Wolves lose the first quarter, they come back in the second, they take the lead in the third, and they hold you off in the fourth. That's not going to hold versus the Denver Nuggets, who are clutch merchants. They are the most clutch merchanty clutch merchants who have ever clutched. So if they have three games in this series where they're just better than Minnesota, which I think is extremely likely, and then they clutch one game, then we're there. If this is like the first four games are coin flips and Denver wins two of them and wins one flat out, they've got an elimination game opportunity in five, and if not, they've got it in six. So I love this Wolves team. I love the matchup. I love the spirit that the Wolves play with. I love so much of their defense is the most fun defense to watch for me. But But Denver has so many answers to be able to get out of this series. So I've given out Denver in six, so I'll stick there. But I definitely lean towards Denver in five.
I'm on Nuggets in seven. I have debated Wolves in six. I don't think I'm going to... I've already put it out now that I'm on Nuggets in seven. And it's just, it's hard to go against what Denver has put together. We've already seen them navigate this series or something similar last year. And we know what happens when Jokic and Murray, to Adam's earlier point, we know what happens when this Nuggets team has their backs against the wall and how they respond to that, and how rather than tighten up in pressure, the Nuggets often excel. They often play really, really well in these situations. And it's not like the margin is so crazy that they have to reach that they can't do it. So I'm pretty much on Nuggets in seven. My prediction at this point is that they lose one of the first two games and then they recover in games three or four. And then this is 2-2 coming back to Denver. And maybe that ultimately means that they can win the following two games after that and it goes Nuggets in six. But I have enough respect for the T-Wolves and enough respect for Anthony Edwards and the roster that they have put together that I think that they can really, really push Denver in this moment. So I'm excited to see where it goes, fellas. This is going to be a lot of fun. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I was of the idea that the Wolves were going to steal one of the first two. However, especially I liked them in game one. Then I looked it up and top two seeds that are coming off of rest, it's like 75% of the time they win that game. And that's after round one, mind you. Like, they just win these games if they have rest. And beating Denver at home is just, it's such a hill to climb.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of on the opposite side there. And I think if they get a scare in game one, they buckle down for game two. So that's another reason why I lean towards Denver in a shorter series.
I like it. We're all feeling confident. Interesting.
Cam, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think since last year, I'm 4-1 in my predictions straight up for the Nuggets series. Ooh. I just discounted. Just better than Matt Moore, by the way. But I think I've just discounted the I discounted the Lakers series last year. I thought they would get it done in five and not zero. So yeah, we'll see. Should be a lot of fun. Can't wait to have this conversation again soon.
Well, fellas, always happy to be able to join together for Denvengers. This is always a great time. I look forward to this every single time that we get an opportunity. So hopefully the Nuggets give us another opportunity to be able to do it next round. I would love to be able to do it with all y'all. For everybody in the comments, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button for each of the channels. Locked On Nuggets, Mile High Sports, really appreciate everybody for stopping by. Give us those great reviews, those juicy, juicy five-star reviews as well. Those are always fun. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Really appreciate it. We don't know what Adam's doing. Everybody, we'll talk to you guys very soon.
Bye.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.